الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. I pray that everyone that is listening live or later on is maximizing the moments of Ramadan al-Kareem. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make each moment potent with His remembrance, inshallah ta'ala, for all of us. So let's get started with this hadith, inshallah, reminding us of how crucial zikr is. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Alamat al-hubbillahi ta'ala hubbu zikrillahi wa alamat al-bughdillahi bughdu zikrillahi wa li'adhu billah." So the criterion of loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is love of zikr, of His invocation. And the criterion of li'adhu billah, bughd, or disliking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, actually means hatred, li'adhu billah, is the hatred of His invocation. So here we have a reminder of how important it is to do zikr. And moreover, loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and loving to invoke Him are linked, because the invocation makes present the invoked. And concerning this subject, Sidi Junaid rahimahullah said, "The sign of perfect love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a continuous invocation in the heart, accompanied by joy, delight, ardent desire, shauq, and contentment in spiritual intimacy, uns." So now in Ramadan al-Kareem, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it so easy for us, subhanallah, out of His munificence and magnificence, that this month is the month of renewal. So many of the things that we're afforded, it's automatic, instantaneous, and involuntary. We only have little efforts to make to reap great rewards in this month. Alhamdulillah. So it's a month of renewal. A renewal of La ilaha illallah. It's one of the best times to renew our faith. So, and if you look at the huruf asli of Ramadan, Ra, Mim, Bad, what they mean is a burning up, or a strong heat, like a heat of fire. And I don't know if any of you have noticed this, but for my kids, this applies, because most of us have built up impurities and other things that we need to burn up in this month, which is the meaning of the month. So it happens literally with children, because they're pure beings. So my kids would generally get, at the onset of Ramadan, fevers, because whatever has been built up, it starts, the fasting starts burning away the dross, just like gold that is burned to remove the debris and make it pure. So this is all afforded to us by the beauties and the barakah of this month. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of His mercy, has chained up the shayateen. So what does this indicate to us? By chaining up the shayateen, what is it that's left to work on? That is the nafs. So this we still have to work on. And He's also eliminated the prohibited for us the things that would remove us from working on the nafs, the things that we spend most of our time on in the dunya. For the lay people, for those who are not on the path, most of the time is spent on these dunyawi activities, of which are obviously a part and parcel of living, but we can become burdened by it if we're not careful. That is eating, drinking, and so on. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has removed that for us, prohibited for us, again, for our own benefit. So all of this magnificence of this month is to rid ourselves of the impurities by just not doing certain things and working on the nafs. And so if we're doing what we're supposed to with the ibadat, and in addition, doing extra azkar, then inshallah we will have this goal of burning away the dross, inshallah ta'ala. Sidi Junaid also was asked when he was a youth, rahimahullah, in a majlis, "Oh, you Iraqi, what is your opinion of love?" He lowered his head with tears streaming down his face, and he said, "Love requires the servant to have abandoned his individuality, to constantly invoke his Lord, subhanahu wa ta'ala, to perform all his duties before him, to have his heart turned to him until he is consumed by the lights of his being, to drink the pure water of his affection so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lifts the veils covering his mysteries. When such a man speaks, that is the one in love, it is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If he expresses himself, it's on the subject of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If he performs an act, it's by the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If he rests, it's with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is from Allah, for Allah, with Allah." So all the others in the gathering then started weeping and confessed, "What more can one say? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you," addressing the youth, Sidi Junaid, "O crown of the sages." So there was a prescience in what he was to become, rahimahullah, with such a wisdom coming out from the mouth of a babe, practically. So this, again, reminds us that the quickest route to dissolving the nafs is love. It automatically erases and abases the I. And there are many routes to efface the nafs. The other routes are mainly through struggle and sacrifice, or through situations Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts us in that makes us taste these moments of vulnerability where we have no choice but to humble ourselves if we remember Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And during those pangs is when we start eroding the nafs, because we realize ultimately we are nothing. But higher than that, the quickest and highest route is through love, because it's the way even the dunya celebrates love. And this is the reason why it automatically erases the ego. And its only concern in that state of love is the beloved. So it's a more, it's a higher plane of reaching the goal of eradicating the nafs. And so during this month, we hope to be realizing, tasting, and actualizing these ethereal qualities that can be given to us, because it's a month of munificence, of immense generosity from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For every little we do, we're gaining manifold returns. So, and we get these tastings not only from the mouth, but from the eyes. All of the senses are tasting in this month. You know, classical physicians state that the eyes, they're another lobe of the brain. If you look at it, you could see how this is so. And in traditional understanding, the eyes are the ayn is of certitude. When you explain something, it's a whole different scenario when you actually taste that thing that is being explained. There's only so many things through the words that we can explain, especially in terms of abstract ideas and concepts. But when the eyes experience it, that is another plane altogether. It's immediate yaqeen, immediate certitude. And this correlates with what these classical physicians. Is the recording continuing now?
Yes, I'm starting again, inshallah.
Inshallah. Assalamu alaikum. Can you still hear me?
Yeah, you can. We can hear you, inshallah.
Okay. Okay, so I was saying that the physicians, this correlates with what they say in terms of our understanding of the eye being the ayn of certitude, that it's another lobe of the brain, and you can look at the slur of the eye and see that it's it looks like a portion of the brain. It's very delicate, sensitive, and this is why we have to be careful of all the organs that are exposed. I mean, these are the only organs that are exposed that are extremely sensitive. And so this is why we can't just put any kind of drops. They have to be extremely neutral base that we can use as eye drops. So because they're so delicate. And so that's how the tasting through the eyes go. So in addition, so what does all of this mean in terms of maximizing this month? It means we have to hold on ever more tightly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be with Him as if there is no creation. Though we are going to Taraweeh and rubbing shoulders with our brethren daily, all the prayers for the men who are able to do that, a lot of people going to Umrah. So we're with our brethren probably more so than any other time of the month. But in addition, we're individually with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it can be done. It also teaches us this month that regardless of how social one is, one should have that ability to be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala individually, solely, and directly. And one of the key factors of that is because in Ramadan, we're also getting up privately in the night for tahajjud, as automatically made easy to us by getting up for sahur. We get up earlier and we have time to pray tahajjud. So we have that tasting of our munajat, of our private banter with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So all of this is afforded to us in this month, alhamdulillah. And in terms of what we discuss in the Sufi realm, so the people who are not, in addition to this, doing dhikr, will not have as much energy. This is what you'll see. So amongst those in tariqah, in addition to doing taraweeh, they'll begin and end with adhkar, because this is what gives the body and the soul energy. It feeds our physical body and it feeds our soul. And tahajjud, especially, it's spiritual food. This is why a lot of people have a drain in energy, because the drive is not there to be alone with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it easy to do that in Ramadan, because we must get up for sahur. I mean, if we're wise, we should, though it's not farad, obviously, but the wiser way to do Ramadan is to get up for sahur, because in addition, we get the bounty of doing tahajjud also. And so what we get from this is that we'll also see that this description of doing zikr and how it's the criterion of loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we see this throughout the year amongst the Sufis and, in their zawiyas. And let's look at it directly, actually. If we look at the descriptions of Jannah from the Qur'an al-Kareem, what should come to mind? I think you'll get what I'm insinuating here. If we look directly at some ayat from Surah Ghashiya in this case, there's many places where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes for us, and non-Muslims have mentioned this too. They cannot quote the descriptions of paradise yet, but only from Islam. There is no other deen that was given that gave such succinct, detailed descriptions of al-Jannah. And the non-Muslims of all sciences admit this, and they have to resort to the Qur'an al-Kareem to get the description of Jannah, because no other deen was given such description. So from Surah Al-Ghashiyah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, after describing those who would be punished, then he goes on to describe those who will be in Jannah on that day. وَجُوهِينَ يَوْمَ إِذٍ نَعِنَا. Their faces will be joyful. What did we start off mentioning? That those who practice dhikr, their faces or their states are full of joy. إِسَعِيهَا رَاضِيَا. They're glad with their endeavor for what they did in this world. في جنات عالية, they'll be in a lofty paradise. لا تسمعوا فيها لاغية. This is a very crucial one. All of them are crucial, but in terms of what we should do, it's a reminder of what we should be doing here. In Jannah, there shall be no harmful speech or falsehood. Every speech would be pure and heavenly, just as the heavens themselves. So we'll have pure speech. This indicates to us that this is what we should be practicing here on earth. And ultimately, this is some of the descriptions that is given to those who are practicing tasawwuf, that they're impatient to wait for Jannah in the hereafter. So they make Jannah in this world. They look for Jannah in this world. If you look at the descriptions, as you'll see a couple of more verses, this is what you'll find in the Zawiya across the world. So, لَا تَسْمَعُ فِيهَا لَاغِيَةً. It's an important injunction for us while we're still here in this world. We should watch what we say and make our speech eloquent and paradisical. That is the best speech to have. فِيهَا عَيْنٌ جَارِيَةً. There will be a running spring. فِيهَا سُرُرٌ مَرْفُوعَةً. Therein will be thrones raised high. وَأَكْوَابٌ مَوْضُوعَةً. And cups set at hand. وَنَمَارِقُ مَصْفُوفَةً. And cushions set in rows. وَزَرَابِيُّ مَبْثُوثَةً. And rich carpets all spread out. So if you look at that description, all of it added together, what is the picture you would get? Not of the verdant greens, or when we think of garden, that also implies in the dunya realm to be a microcosm of al-Jannah, of paradise, but more so are these zawiyas and places. This description, especially with the cup set in hand, cushions set in rows, and rich carpets all spread about, this should remind us of places of azkar. If you ever entered zawiyas or places where they do azkar, the Sufis, wherever they are, all over the world, this is what the zawiya would look like. The place where zikr is taking place is a place of beauty, of verdant Jannah on earth. And this is what we should be doing in Ramadan al-Kareem as well. In addition, it's actually the secret to making our fasting, our Ramadan, have more of the spiritual fruits. And in fact, it's a secret to getting more energy. Others who don't do this aspect will find it harder to do the extra ibadahs of Taraweeh or extra recitations of the Qur'an al-Kareem and all the other ibadahs that we should be doing. If we're finding it hard or tiresome to do so, then it's most likely because we're not doing extra adhkar. That will bring us on this higher plane of remembering him with ease, inshallah ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to taste this in the remainder of our Ramadan and throughout the rest of the year. Jazallahu anna Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ma huwa ahlu. جزا الله عنا سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم ما هو أهله جزا الله عنا سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم ما هو أهله سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين الفاتحة. If you could text me.